Hi, and welcome to That's My First Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Well, let's go ahead and do our normal thing. Let's update everybody on what we did this past weekend.
This past weekend. I guess
this whole past week.
I recently bought a 3D printer. I feel like I've talked about this before. If not on the podcast, I've talked to you in person about it. I still have not successfully printed anything. 3D printing is harder than it seems, so I'm slowly working on it. I've made two squiggly things, so I'm on my way, I feel like.
I mean, that's a step in the right direction. You got to start somewhere.
This is...
Always going to be super... It's not like you're going to get it right the first time.
Yeah, I'm hoping to figure this out. I'm hoping I didn't buy a $300 paperweight. But you know what? It will look cool in streams. So, is that worth it? I don't know.
Yeah, just have it in the background, make everything look better, like make you look really cool.
Yeah, like I'm doing things, going places. Yeah.
Exactly. I did not have nearly as exciting of a weekend. I went and played a new game. I'm a big fan of the Xenoblade series. So Xenoblade Chronicles 3 came out on Friday, so I've been playing that. Been enjoying it. I think I like it better than the second one. So far, I don't like it more. I think the first one is like creme de la creme, one of the best, but you know, this one's pretty good. What else? I feel like I did something else like on Sunday. Like I went out and bought something. I went to the bakery because I'm on a hunt for like the world's best cinnamon roll. And unfortunately, they were sold out when I got there. And then I took the dog out to the park. So we had fun.
Wait, what'd you get instead of a cinnamon roll?
They had like a apple scone. It was good.
Okay. What makes a good cinnamon roll? Is it like good frosting to roll ratio, buttery roll, or
what? Like what the roll has to be not. I don't know. So like, there's a lot of contention about what makes a good cinnamon roll. Like, is a flaky cinnamon roll good, or is a very soft cinnamon roll good? I'm not a big fan of the flaky. I do like the melt-in-the-mouth buttery kind, though. To me, a cinnamon roll has to have good icing on it. Like, if you have no icing, then it's just like a morning bun or whatever. So if you have icing, then it's officially a cinnamon roll. So now you have to have good icing on there. And so what makes good icing? Like, I guess it just depends. Like, I might be breaking Austin law or something by saying I am not a fan of the cinnamon rolls at Quack's at all, because they just have like, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe their icing. It's just god awful.
Quack's is overrated, everyone. If you're gonna go to a bakery, go to Upper Crust.
Upper Crust has way better. Yep.
But yeah, Quack's is overrated. Sorry, Quacks. It's true, though.
A good cream cheese, like, icing can make all the difference. And then, like, yeah, good race. Like, also, like, freshly baked. Like, microwaving or otherwise reheating is not... Well, I guess if you reheat in the oven, maybe it's not too bad. But, like, just microwaving it again, that doesn't work. So, like, fresh out of the oven can make a big difference.
Should it be happy to go though? Like, if they don't like, because they make it in the mornings or whenever, and they'll have them out. Should they not ice them, and then they're able to reheat just the bread, and then the icing can go on top of the newly heated? Then it kind of like, because it's it heating the icing again that's throwing it off for you in a reheat, or they're just never.
No, it's the bread. The bread just tastes weird, like reheated, like after it's cooled down and then you heat it again. Like, I feel like there's very few things in the world that actually taste good when you reheat it.
If there was a bakery that made a cinnamon roll to order, would you wait for a cinnamon roll to be baked?
100%. There's a place in Denver. It's been a long, long time since I've been in, but it's called Duffy Roll, and they make really good cinnamon rolls.
Do they make it to order?
I honestly don't remember, but like they're constantly refreshing the stock, so they're pretty fresh. Like it's not like there's some bakeries like they make all the cinnamon rolls that they're gonna make, they make in the morning, and then like you know as they get purchased or whatnot, they start refreshing it from the racks or whatever, and then when they're sold out, they're sold out. Whereas they're just like baking them all day long.
There is this place in Austin. There's a restaurant called Culinary Dropout. I love it a lot. They have on their dessert menu, it's monkey bread. I don't know if you've heard of, if everyone's heard of monkey mm-hmm. bread. It's kind of just like cinnamon little balls of dough baked together. But they bake it to order. So they're like, if you order this dessert, it won't be out for like 45 minutes.
See, that's perfect. That actually sounds amazing. It looks like Duffy Roll can actually ship you cinnamon rolls. I don't know how good or bad they would taste, but
these don't look like they have frosting on them, though.
Some of them do. Maybe the ones that you order online, you have to frost yourself or something. Like maybe the frosting just doesn't ship well, or I don't know.
Okay, there's some orange glaze ones. Honestly, if I was getting shipped to me, I would not want it frosted.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought too. And one of the best cinnamon rolls I ever had, and for the life of me, I cannot remember. I remember the city I got it in. I don't remember where I bought it though. I got it in Seattle. I'm about 70% sure I bought it somewhere near or around Pike's Place. But beyond that, I don't even know if that place is still open. But I'm like, yes, that, like, what was it, 2015, 2016 I tried? I'm like, yes, that was the cinnamon roll.
Aren't you going to Seattle soon?
Yeah, in a few weeks. So that's going to be my goal, is to, like, find that cinnamon roll again.
The hunt for the cinnamon roll. Okay.
Yes, that's going to be my big whale.
See, I wish I had a thing that I was like, I'm hunting for the best. Because my favorite dessert is a tres leches cake. And I really can't go wrong. I eat them all. I'm like, this one was good. And this one was also good. So, all tres leches cakes are good to me.
Yeah, I guess I'm a bit of a cinnamon roll snob. There is a place in Austin that makes good cinnamon rolls, but they only make like 10 a day or something, or at least when I was living there, they only made that much. So you had to like get there early in the morning to get it. Otherwise, like, if you show up at like, it was Sugar Mama's. They only ever had like, because I remember I got there and they still had the plate out, and I was like, oh man, I really wanted a cinnamon roll, and maybe the girl was just trolling me or whatnot, but she's like, yeah, we only make like 8 or 10 a day, and then when they're gone, they're gone. So I'm like, oh, but then a month later or something, I went there at the right time, the cinnamon rolls were out, and man, they were amazing.
I'm trying to find their cinnamon roll. They have a sticky bun. Oh, it's in August only, though.
I mean, why it would is you August.
Something that's an oh wait, is it August?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, why would you post an August thing? But I guess time flies. Guys, I don't even know what month I'm in.
Yep, this is like the third week of August. Or the third day of August, rather.
Yeah, I don't see a cinnamon roll. Maybe that's a not... Maybe they switch them out. Because a sticky bun is very close to a cinnamon roll.
That's true. They are like, I feel like they're the same base recipe, and it's just like what you do. Like the dough is the same, and then what you do with the dough is what makes it different.
This place is good, though. I remember you taking me there one time.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, you got cupcakes or something like that, because they have good cupcakes.
They do. I'm looking at their cupcakes right now.
I feel like every time I go there, like, a good portion, like, most of the time when I go to Sugar Mama's, I usually get a cupcake.
I wish they were closer to me. They are not. They're 18 miles away. I wonder how close it is to my work. Now I'm thinking about getting a cupcake. That could be a Friday treat.
There you go. Perfect. I like the way you think.
Yeah.
Oh, Gordo's. So they're listing Gordo's as having the best cinnamon rolls. I'm like, does Gordo's even have cinnamon rolls?
I'm going to say something controversial again. Our podcast is just controversial thoughts now. But I don't even think Gordo's has the best donuts.
I respect your opinion. I will say I will eat Gordo's any day of the week before, and this is going to be sacrilegious too, especially now they live on the West Coast. I will eat Gordo's any day of the week over Voodoo Donuts, hands down. Like, I remember when Voodoo Donuts first came to Austin, it was cash only, so I had to find an ATM. And then I was standing in line, and there's just a huge line and everything. And I remember getting in, and I was like, it's all right. But like everybody, like leading up to that, everybody was talking about how, oh my goodness, this Portland donut shop is coming to Austin, and it's the best donut shop or the best donuts you can ever get in America. And they have like these weird flavors, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's a vanilla donut with some Cap'n Crunch on. And it's like, all right, whatever. Like the dough of the donut tastes meh.
I will say, though, well, all right, two thoughts. One about Gordo's Donuts. Gordo's Donut has a good, like, the dough is a good fry dough. They fry it to order, too, so that's good. But it's just, like, a donut with a bunch of stuff on it.
Fair.
Which can be cool sometimes. Voodoo Donuts is overrated, guys. Sorry, everyone. But it is. Unless you can get the peach fritter. The peach fritter is the bomb. But everything else is like, if you're in Austin, don't get Voodoo. Just come over to Round Rock Donuts. Get a Round Rock Donut.
Okay, yes. Round Rock Donuts are amazing.
I would even say I prefer a Krispy Kreme over a Voodoo Donut.
Yeah.
But it has to be fresh off the belt.
Dude, I remember when Krispy Kreme first opened in San Antonio. This is like the early 2000s. There were literally like lines out on the highway, like up to the exit ramps or whatever, of people trying to get the donuts.
Okay, I will say I was visiting a friend in Indiana recently, and we were driving around, and I was like, man, what is that restaurant with all those cars wrapped around it? It was a Krispy Kreme. So they got a hold over there in Indiana.
I feel the same way about In-N-Out Donuts. Maybe it was just because – or not In-N-Out Donuts, In-N-Out Burgers. And maybe it was just because it was hyped so much. But, like, remember when it first came to Austin? Or I guess technically the first one was in Round Rock in the Austin Metro. This is, like, 2014 or something like that, 2015. The first one opened, and literally there were like 3-hour lines to get it. And everybody I knew from California was telling me how amazing In-N-Out Burger was and how great it is and stuff. And I never had In-N-Out Burger before. So I was all excited, and I got it. And my friend actually got off of work early that day. So he went and stood in line. And then when I got off of work, I went and met him there. So like he was pretty much already ordered by the time I got there, so I didn't have to stand in line. But when I got it, I was like, I mean, this is an all right burger. It's not worth the 3-hour wait.
I mean, if you like onions, it is. Man, they throw onions on that burger. Like, it's, I just mean, it's like any other burger. Is that, I don't know. People are going to come for me now. It's like any burger I've had. Mm-hmm. Nothing is very interesting about it. I guess the cool thing is like there's only two choices of things. Like there like barely is a menu, so it's like I know what I want.
Yep, absolutely. Well, now that we've talked about burgers, this is as good a time as any to segue into King of the Hill, because I feel like. Actually, I feel like Hank would hate In-N-Out Burgers, too. I don't even think he'd try it. I think he'd hate it just virtue of the fact that it's from California.
He'd be like, oh, Austin. He would say something like that. Of course, Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he just hates anything from California. So I feel like the minute Bobby came over and said like, "Hey, Dad, this burger place is from California or whatever," he'd be like, "Oh, we're not going there."
Unless it was cooked with propane.
Yeah, I guess so. He would be super torn then, because it'd be like, on one hand, they're using propane, which is God's gas. But on the other hand, it's California. He would not know what to do. So this episode, we are going to be doing Dances with Dogs, which is Season 7, Episode 5. This one is kind of Bobby and Hank against each other instead of working together, like actually against each other, not just like different points of view or whatever. This episode gives me slight PTSD whenever I watch it, because the song that they play, when I was in school and in college in San Antonio, I had a friend who owned a coffee shop near my campus, and he was an older guy. So like, even at the time, he was like, late 50s, early 60s, whatever. This is like mid to late 2000s. And so whenever he was working at the shop, he was always playing like the Mamas and the Papas and Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn and all that. So, you know, the whole I Keep Walking In After Midnight song, like it was always playing whenever I went into his coffee shop. And so like anytime I hear it, I have a small cringe. But I was able to listen to it for the episode, so let's jump in. We're at the Hill House, and Peggy and Hank are getting ready to go get ice cream, and then Peggy's like, "Oh, I got the coupons. Oh, wait, they're expired." And then Hank's like, "Dang, I was looking forward to it. Oh, let's just go anyway. I'll pay full price. I'm really in the mood for ice cream." And then Bobby's like, "You two have fun. I'm going to stick around. I have a new New Year's resolution. I'm going to eat ice cream once a day." And then Hank is pleased, and he's like, "Oh, that's self-discipline. That's great." And so they bounce, and then once they leave, and Bobby notices that they've pulled out of the driveway and everything, he locks the doors, puts in a VHS tape, and he calls over Lady Bird. The VHS tape is a video of a dog dancing competition, and Bobby begins dancing with Lady Bird, their dog. Apparently, they come back early because, you know, Hank's like, "Oh, well, when the guy stuck his finger in the ice cream, it just ruined the mood for me." So they just went back home, which is also kind of like, I don't know. Aren't there other ice cream shops?
I don't know. I feel like after you see someone stick their finger, honestly, though, if I really wanted ice cream, I'd just be like, "Can you scoop around that part?"
Yeah, maybe. Hank comes home and he sees Bobby dancing with Lady Bird, and he's upset. He's like, "What are you doing?" For a lot of reasons. One, it's weird. And then two, Lady Bird is 13-year-old dog, super old, arthritis, all that stuff. And Bobby's like, "Oh, we're just doing extreme training. It looked like you were dancing." "We were dancing. But this is a real thing. It's a musical canine freestyle." And then Hank calls him a liar, and then Bobby's like, "No, look, it's a real thing." And he shows them the VHS. And he's like, "It started in Canada." And then Hank's like, "They're supposed to be our allies." But he's like, no more Canadian tricks, because Lady Bird is old. And so, you know, Bobby's upset and Hank's a little upset. But, you know, whatever. They move forward. Hank's in the alley drinking with the guys. And he says that he caught his boy dancing with the dog. And Dale's like, "That's dumb. What will they think about next? Smoking for dogs? Wait, doggy cigarettes. I thought of it first." So he's like, I guess, going to try to invent it or something. And then Bill starts asking questions like, "Oh, so what dance are they doing?" And Hank's like, "I think the twist." And then Hank's like, "Why?" And Bill's like, "Oh, I don't know. Bobby should be punished. I got to go. I have something to do." And then Dale's like, "Man, Bill's been busy these days." We see Bobby at Connie's place, and Bobby's just depressed. He's like, "Man, I really want to dance with a dog." And Connie's like, "You can come to the old folks' home and dance with the old folks. I do that every Friday. It'd be nice to have a boy around." And Bobby's like, "Didn't you listen to me? I want to dance with dogs, not old people." So Connie like takes it back. But then Bobby sees Doggy, Connie's dog, and gets an idea. I I don't know. I feel like Dancing with Dogs, maybe I'm a weird person, but I feel like Dancing with Dogs is like a normal thing.
I feel like, because when I was a kid, I was really obsessed with like the dog obstacle course shows. I don't know if you ever remember.
Yep.
Like they were on TV and would like the trainer would take their dog through the obstacle course. I'm okay with that. I don't know about like holding the paws kind of thing. It feels like dogs weren't meant to balance that well.
No, they definitely can't, but some can. Mine definitely has really good balance. Like whenever she's not upset, that's not the word I want to use, but like whenever she smells something or sees something, she'll like stand on her hind legs for like a little bit, like a good while. And yeah, so she's not too bad.
My dog, and I have a dachshund, so it's hard for Santa's legs. He's too long. So
that's fair.
And rounder now. He's gotten a lot rounder. But he's an old man. He's 14, so I'm letting him live his life.
Yeah, that tends to happen as I get older. My previous dog made it to 13, and she was still pretty spry, but you can tell that she was older because she just moved way slower than she used to when she was a pup.
Oh, man. Not to get off topic, but my dog did get out of the yard this week. I guess that's something I did this week. But he's so old that he didn't make it that far. He kind of just made it past the opening in the fence while checking the mail. And then he was just like, I'm done, guys. This is where I'm at.
This is as far as I'm going.
Yeah, so he's definitely not going to be dancing.
Fair enough. In the garage, Hank is working on a planer. Just doing Hank stuff. And he puts on the radio and... You know, he's doing what I think most anybody does. When you're working, you have your dog kind of sitting there. I mean, well, my dog's in the other room right now, but usually she's sitting in the room with me when I'm working. And when the music's playing, Lady Bird goes and nudges Hank, kind of showing that, hey, I like this music. I want to dance, which kind of makes me feel like Bobby must have been doing the Lady Bird dances for quite a while, if Lady Bird's been, like, conditioned to respond that way. But, you know, Hank starts dancing with her, and then he realizes, oh, this is fun, and you know he turns around. We cut over to an animal shelter, and Bill's trying to adopt a dog, and he keeps talking to the guys working at the shelter about how he's going to enter this dog dancing competition. He wants a good dancing dog, and you can see the guys are like looking at each other, like, oh, this is we've got a live one here. This guy's a weirdo kind of mindset, or like that's kind of their take. And they jokingly point out this Rottweiler, and this Rottweiler is wearing a muzzle and doesn't look all that friendly. But Bill's like, "Oh, is this a good dancing dog?" And like trying to cover their laughs, they're like, "Yeah, he's very great, but you know, in reality, he's violent." We go back to Khan's house, the Super Newsome phones, and Khan's like, "What, you want to dance with the dog? Well, what am I going to get out of this?" And then Khan says, "You're going to have to pick up the dog poop, While you pick up dog poop, then, you know, Connie doesn't have to worry about it, and she can focus on her studies." And he's like, "Yeah, sure, small dog. How bad could it be?" And then Connie is like, "Yeah." And then it's like, "You start now," and gives her a bag. And it's like, "Oh, geez, what do you feed this thing?" Hank is in his truck, and he is leaving. And he's, you know, Peggy's working in the yard. He's like, "Oh, bye, Peggy. I'm going to go get gas," which doesn't sound suspicious at all. And while he pulls away, he shows that he like had Lady Bird sit down on the seat so that she wasn't visible, and pulls her back up once they're out of sight. And they go down to like Lover's Lane or Makeout Point or whatever, like one of those hills that overlooks the city, and they're dancing at night. The next morning, he shows Lady Bird to Peggy. He's like, "Have you noticed anything different?" It's like, "Oh, is the side of her face paralyzed?" Like, "No, she lost 2 pounds. Tapeworm, that was going to be my next guess." It's like, "No, I've been walking her more, and she's been more youthful now. You know, her bones don't creak, and she's even barking happier and whatnot. I think I'm going to keep walking her, no matter what anybody says." I love you, Peggy. And then Hank goes, Hank and, you know, Lady Bird go through a photo album, and it's like, oh, you know, who won cutest puppy at the mall? Fall 89. Well, we're going to get you to win another ribbon. And so they decide, okay, let's answer Lady Bird into the contest. We go to the hotel where the contest is taking place. Well, the contest will be taking place. Right now, they're just taking in entries. And Hank is signing Lady Bird up. And sure enough, Bobby shows up. And Hank's trying to hide, but then somebody yells, Mr. Hill, Mr. Hill, and that gets Bobby's attention, and Bobby notices Hank, and Bobby is mad because Hank gave him crap about the dog dancing thing, and here he is registering his dog to dance, but then Hank's mad, it's like, oh, well, you're with the neighbor's dog, you'll just be with any dog, and, you know, it just becomes funny because now they have this rivalry over whose dog was the best, so, yeah, I feel like this is one of the few times in the show where we see them go head-to-head with each other on, like, anything. I think a few times it has happened. But this is, I think, one of the few times where they might actually be on equal ground.
I don't know. I feel like Bobby has the upper hand. You don't think so?
I think Bobby does because he's younger and the dog's younger and they can probably do, like, crazier moves and stuff. But you don't know what they're, you know, we don't know what they're grading on.
I also think Hank is too old school. I mean, I've seen the episode, but just knowing Hank and how he's by the books kind of person, you know, he's not going to be doing any fun tricks.
No.
Even if Lady Bird could.
No, he's very, very, it's almost like, if you went to, like, Dallas Cowboy or Dallas Nightclub or something, or, like, you know, I'm probably dating myself because I don't even think that's open in Austin anymore, but there's a bunch of, like, cowboy-themed nightclubs in Texas and, like, cowboys and whatnot, and, you know, you go there and you see all the people two-stepping or whatever. Like, that's pretty much the type of dancing Hank is doing with Lady Bird. Nothing too exotic or extreme or not even, like, any tricks, really. Just very, very basic, which is fine. And, you know, Lady Bird likes it. Hank likes it. That's all that should matter. But I don't think it's going to win them any contests. So we're back at the Hill House. Bobby's outside. Hank will not let Bobby inside. See, he's locked the sliding glass door. And, you know, he don't want to let him in because he doesn't want Bobby to practice and get better or anything like that. Peggy shows up, lets Bobby in, and suggests, okay, look, Bobby could dance with Doggy in his room. You can dance with Lady Bird in the garage. Everybody's happy. Nobody has to get upset. And, okay, they agree. We see Bill at his house, and he's trying to train Rex, which is the name of the dog, to dance. And after he removes the muzzle, Rex just goes on the attack on Bill. To the point where Bill, like, locks himself in the room and then has to escape his house. And I don't know, like, I don't know if it's because Rex is a violent dog or if it's because he was trying to get him to dance to Achy Breaky Heart. Because that would make me pretty mad, too.
I do think it was, I would agree, a song choice all the way. You know, Rex is more of a, like, I feel like maybe a Foo Fighters guy. Maybe we need to put some, like, rock on for him.
Not to bring the mood down, but I know, like, maybe it's because it was a different time or something, but, like, I know nowadays, if you have a dog that has massive behavioral problems that they have a hard time adopting out, they will just put it down, sadly.
That is sad. I wish there were more places that rehabilitated.
Yeah, because I've heard of, I have friends who volunteer at, like, the different, dog shelters and whatnot, and they've all pretty much said, like, yeah, every once in a while there's just a dog that just can't behave, and, like, nobody will adopt them because they're too violent or they're just too messy or whatever, and they really have no, like, for their, like, I guess they say it's like a quality of life thing. It's like they really have no choice but to put them down.
That is a downer, you know, and it's not the dog's fault.
No.
Though everyone adopt dogs would stop.
Yes, adopt dogs. And I will say that I think they do try everything to get the dog to be normal. Not normal, but, like, behave properly. So obviously you can't have a dog who's, like, if you have children, even if you don't have children in the house, but definitely if you have children in the house, you can't have a dog that's going to go on the attack.
But Bill took in this dog, so that's good.
Yeah. It reminds me actually of a story in Austin at Austin Pets Alive, which is a which is like the dog shelter in Austin, or one of the dog shelters in Austin. This was, 7 years ago or something. There was like a kid who they, you know, let into the dog pen. The parents let the kid in the dog pen play with the dog. And the kid kept like jumping on the dog and pulling on its hair and its tail and stuff and whatnot. And eventually the dog had enough and bit it. And then people were like saying, oh, we need to put the dog down. The dog's dangerous and stuff. And then like there's a huge campaign. And like I was up in arms too. I was like, no, that dog didn't do anything wrong. Like, if the kid was minding its own business and the dog ran up and attacked him, then sure. But if the kid's messing with the dog and the dog bites, that's just a hard life lesson.
Yeah, I mean, it's Austin. I know I love Austin, but sometimes people don't realize, like, you can't just let your kids do everything, anything they want.
That story did end on a happy note, though. The dog did get adopted out, so.
That's always good. Usually when stuff like that blows up, the dog usually gets a nice home. Like, someone's like, I'll take that dog despite these people.
Yeah, but like, it's just annoying to think, like, oh, no, the dog attacked my kid. It's like, yeah, the kid was jumping and messing with the dog. What were you telling the kid not to do that?
My parents would have been like, you deserved that, or you did it to yourself. Like, they're like, if that, they would have been like, what did you do to the dog to make it bite you?
Yeah, I honestly, if I had kids, I'd probably do the same thing. I'd be like, that's what you get. You were pulling on the dog's tail and you were pulling on its fur. What did you think was going to happen? Oh, let's see. So Hank is now at this house outside. He's raking leaves. He notices Bobby practicing through the window. Bobby sees him and closes the blind. Bobby was using a costume, like, for himself and for Doggy. So Hank's like, oh, we need to, like, you know, we need to up the game. So he goes into the garage and he gets a cowboy hat for himself and for Ladybird. Bill runs in. He has, like, some really, really, like, torn up clothes and the bruises and all that stuff from dealing with his dog. And he asks for advice for why the dog won't dance. And, you know, Hank's kind of confused because, one, he didn't even realize Bill got a dog. But then also just the whole situation and what you're getting your dog to dance. And Bill's like, I know it sounds stupid. And then Bill, like, notices Ladybird in the cowboy hat and Hank in the cowboy hat. And he's like, you're dancing with dogs. And Hank's like, you must make sure the guys never hear about this. And Bill's like, yeah, I know. Isn't dog dancing wonderful? And then Hank's like, yes. And then so Hank gives Bill, like, some tips, like, let the dog choose a song. Don't choose a song for the dog. But then Hank's like, wait, are you entering the dog in the contest? And he's like, yes. It's like, okay, you need to leave. Like, he's not going to help him. It's dinner time. Tension is between the Hillmen. Peggy's trying to break the ice, telling a story or whatever. And then Hank's like, oh, Bobby, are you going to finish your gristle? Because I'd like to give it to Ladybird. And Bobby's like, nope, I'm going to eat it. And then Hank's like, but you never eat your gristle. You always give it to Ladybird. And he's like, oh, well, eating the gristle tastes better knowing that she can't have it. And then Peggy just gets upset. It's like, you guys are literally arguing about fat. And then, so Hank's like, okay, you know what? You can have the house, Bobby. I'm going to take Peggy out dancing. So they go dancing at, like, I guess a cowboy-themed dance club. And Peggy is happy to be out. And Hank just keeps dipping her. And it's like, oh, you're really into the dips tonight. And then Hank's like, yeah, well, since you brought it up, does Bobby have any dips in his routine? And he just keeps asking questions. And Peggy's like, I'm trying my best to be neutral here. And, Hank's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, Ladybird. So calling Peggy Ladybird. And so she's mad and she's like, you know what? I hope Bobby wins. And she leaves. And then Hank's like, all right, fine. Go with Bobby and the neighbor's dog. Hey, maybe you can live over with Min and Con and eat rice all day and never celebrate Christmas. And then she's just like, goodbye, Hank. And then he's like, Ladybird hates you. Peggy drives Bobby over to the contest. Hank's now like taking pictures, getting ready to head out. Bill has to literally drug his dog. Like, the dog has him cornered in the shower, and he has a sliding glass shower, so the dog can't get in. Bill has to like use a back scratcher or whatever to open the medicine cabinet and steal, get his bottle of pills, and then spill it, and then, you know, get it, and then he just throws the pills, and the dog eats it, and then he's like, oh, whew, okay, cool, dog's passed out. And he's trying to dress the dog in the tux. And then we kind of get a glimpse into what the dog's thinking. And the dog's thinking about is like dreaming about chewing off Bill's arm. We're back at the hotel. And then, you know, Hank sees everybody's all dressed up. And he's like, man, they're dressed to the nines. They're dressed like they're going to be performing at the White House. But they're like, you know what? It's about a man and their dog dancing together. Not about like the flash and glory or anything like that. It's just about, you know, the substance. We move over to the actual contest. Hank and Ladybird dance first, or at least of what we see. We can presume that dogs were dancing before and after them. But Hank and Ladybird dance, and they're dancing to Patsy Cline's Walking After Midnight, and you know, they talk about, oh, yeah, this elegant dog. Now we see why she's named after the first lady. And then, of course, somebody comes up and says, oh, Mr. Dotrieve, you and Rex are next. And, oh, no muzzles allowed. And then Bill's like, but it's like, nope, no muzzles allowed. So Bill removes it. And then, like, that causes Rex to snap out of his daze and just chase Bill throughout the hotel. Next, they move on to Bobby and Doggy's dance. And it is incredibly energetic. Just all the commentators like it, and they're just saying, it's like I'm dreaming, and I hope I never wake up for this and anything. So it's like super, super great. But you know, Hank's like, oh, it's all flash but no substance. They announce the awards. Bobby and Doggy actually get second place, whereas Hank and Ladybird do not place at all. They go home. Hank's a little depressed, so he's like, oh, you want to watch me paint, Ladybird? So they're, you know, painting. He's in the garage painting, and she just kind of falls asleep. And Hank puts on the music while he paints, and Ladybird gets up and starts nudging him. It's like, oh, wants to dance. And Hank's like, oh, no, we're not doing that anymore. But he sees that she really wants to, so he decides to dance with Ladybird. And then Peggy and Bobby come up, and so Bobby gets to dance with Ladybird, and Hank decides to dance with Peggy. And the episode kind of ends on a nice note. So yeah, this is what, season 7 season 7, so it's pretty late into it. So, you know, if you were telling me about like season 1 or season 2 Hank and saying like, "Oh yeah, Hank and Bobby are going to be competitive in dog dancing in an episode," I'd be like, "Bobby for sure, but Hank, that is not Hank Hill." But sure enough, here we are.
Do you think there's a world where Hank and Bobby could have worked together on this?
Maybe. So I think my thing is, I don't even think he really cared all that much until he knew Bobby was in. Because I think, like, I don't know, like, honestly, I think Hank is just naturally a competitive person. Like, that's just who he is. So when he saw that there was a competition for dog dancing, he jumped up on that opportunity. And now we are like in this position where he is just taking it way too far. And like, not attacking, that's not what I want to say, but definitely, what's the word I'm looking for? Definitely like really wanting to go after Bobby. I mean, you could see the competitive nature just jumping in there.
I mean, we know that Hank is a very competitive person. I don't know if the Rose episode's already happened or not.
No, it has not.
But you see it in there. But you also see, like, anything Hank does, he's trying to be the number one at it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just naturally competitive. He's not all right with just, like, trying or just having fun or whatever. Like, if Bobby does have his competitive side on a lot of things, but generally speaking, Bobby is like, I'm just here to have fun. I'm just here to enjoy myself. We see that so many times in the show. But yeah, Hank is always about like winning.
Yeah, but I love the end of this episode. It's just very sweet. Peggy finally gets to dance with Hank, and it's like truly her, not a Lady Bird replacement.
Yeah, and then I also think it's nice because Hank just enjoys dancing with Lady Bird. Hey, this is my dog. My dog likes to do it. Like you could tell that he really, really, really loves his dog. Like, not just in this episode, but in every episode. So I like that he was also able to just enjoy that with Lady Bird and not like make it about winning a contest.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely a heartwarming episode. It is an interesting episode, even though I got the PTSD from the song. But yeah, I do like it. I will agree with you on that. This is a very good one, and it's heartwarming. Hey, at the end of the day, Hank was all right with Bobby dancing with Lady Bird, which he wasn't at the beginning. So, a win, I guess. A win all the way around.
Yeah. Before we end the episode, what would be your song like you would dance with your dog with?
Oh, that is a good question. It would probably be something within the past 30 years, which doesn't really narrow it down, but it's definitely not going to be Patsy Cline. Like, it'd probably be like Backstreet Boys or something. I don't know.
Oh, that would be a good one. I definitely don't want to do a romantic song. Oh, something with Little John in it, I feel like, is a good choice.
What is it? Get Low? What was that? That was like a 2004 song.
Get Low or...
Usher's Yeah.
That would be a good one. There's so many good songs. Is Dog... Wait, okay. Now, before we end, I have to Google, is dog dancing a real thing?
I'd be shocked if it weren't.
Oh, yes, it is. There is a, is this real? Like FCI, Dog Dancing World Champion.
Yeah, and then American Kennel Club has Welcome to the World of Musical Freestyle or Dog Dancing. And it looks like Netflix has a series called We Are the Champions, which is all about competitive dog dancing.
Wow. Wow, the federal? No, wait, this can't be right. Okay, I guess there are. Man, there's dog dancing competitions all over the world. Bobby should go pro.
I feel like there's a contest for almost anything. Like, I'm sure there is competitive walking. I'm sure exists. So. I'm not shocked that there's dog dancing.
Is there competitive sleeping? And how do I get into that?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if there weren't like some underground competitive sleeping. I just don't. How would you rank that? Oh, there's a sleeping competition in Spain, the National Siesta Championship. So that's something. And then apparently there is the World Sleep Championships. So, I guess it's called sleep racing. I don't know what this is, and now I'm kind of concerned.
Do they test you for like Ambien and stuff like that?
Well, it's like that they do. They do competitive drug testing for like Benadryl and Ambien and all that.
Yeah, because you know,
performance enhancing drugs.
And like, can you? I don't know. Sometimes I wake up a little bit, but then I fall back asleep real quick. Is that allowed, or like once my eyes are open?
I don't know. Like, first of all, I need to make sure this thing isn't a troll. Second of all, I want to look and see like how do they rank it? Like what
caught it? I see this thing. It's the National Competitive Napping League. and they have a rating system. 50%, okay, you have to sleep, you have to be asleep for 20 minutes, or like there's a 20-minute thing of you sleeping, and it's broken down into 50% of your score is how long did it take you to go to sleep, 15% is your breathing, 15% is movement, another 15 is snoring, and then 5% for form. So,
all right.
I don't know if this is real because it's on a Tumblr. I feel like a real website would have not a Tumblr page.
Yeah, good point. Well, I mean, if it ever comes up in the reboot, the King of the Hill reboot, if they do a competitive sleeping episode, I'm here for it. That's all I've got on the episode. How about you?
I'm fascinated by this sleeping thing now. But yeah, I love this episode. Like I always say, this is a great episode to rewatch. I love it. I love all the episodes.
Yep. The next episode will be Grand Theft Arlen. And this is an episode I mean, yes, we love every episode, but like this episode is like super out of character for Hank. And I just always love when I watch it. So, you know, watch it. We'll talk about it next week. We'll have a great time. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.